Samuel L.
Hamburgers.
Is your website purdy?
The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Does it work right?
This is a tasty burger.
Can people find it?
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Say it!
Man, you been.
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast. Because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you, as always, for listening, however you're listening. iTunes, Stitcher, right off the website, and coming soon to Google Play. Thank you to our social media swami, Chris Bradley, for being on top of that. We'll be on Google Play as we're all set up for it. We're just waiting for them to make it live. Great to be here with you this week. And as I've been looking over the year and kind of reflecting on what has happened in the world of websites, SEO, social media, all of it in 2015, I noticed that I dropped the ball a little bit. It's been quite a while since I've given you any blogging tips, topics, and whatnot. So this week's focus is going to be exactly that. I'm going to give you 5 best practices tips to help you get more out of your blogging for your business. More interest, more interaction. Blogging is something I've harped on. And, you know, I've been a major flag waver for it since about 2006 or 2007, even before I realized just how powerful and relevant it would eventually become to be like it is now. I recognized back then, and my attitude about blogging has always been, hey, great, now you have the power to get your voice heard. You have the power to get your thoughts read. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops until some highfalutin publisher deems you worthy of them bestowing upon you the privilege of having your words printed in their on their paper with their ink. I do have a bit of an attitude about that. There are a lot of good voices that are being heard now because of the internet age. There are also some voices that we wish would shut up, but I digress. Now, and to that effect, with that power comes some responsibility. It's your words. It's your representation of your company. And you don't need me to go into any detail about just how socially deficient many people in positions of power or authority are when they have the freedom to publish their own words and thoughts with no filter. We see it every day, and many of you are a little leery of blogging to begin with because you're afraid of suffering the same scrutiny. What you must keep in mind is that you can't always just take the worst blogging examples and can't let them make you fearful of making your own voice heard, because think of the worst blogging example you can think of, and I'm sure you can find plenty of others that are completely on the other end of the spectrum. So the important thing is there is scrutinize your own words the way you would scrutinize others' words. And that's a big problem that a lot of your contemporaries have. They can't step out of their own mind. It's great to be opinionated. Can you handle your own scrutinization? Can you handle being on the other end of your opinionated attitude? If the answer is yes, then you're on the right track. So scrutinize your own words the way you would others. And always get a trusted second opinion. I do that all the time here myself. We need it. We're social creatures. We need that interaction with people that we respect. Always get a trusted second opinion, especially if you have any doubts about what you're writing or, more importantly, how you're presenting it. We'll call that one your bonus tip today. Get a trusted second opinion. Now, here are your 5 blogging best practices tips to get you prepared for a great and interactive 2016. We'll start here with Mambo number 5. Number 5, have an engaging headline. You know, it sounds simple, and it really is in many ways, but we've reached a point where we are overthinking headlines because we want attention. We're going to make it louder, and we're going to make it faster. You know, Metallica already did that back in 1983. It's been done. Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, the Big Four. How much more louder can you get? And it's like, I even heard the same descriptive or a similar descriptive when it comes to, you know, dressing the part in a professional context and you're wearing a suit. How can you really set yourself apart when everybody's wearing suits? Are you going to wear a more extreme suit than somebody else? You're going to wear a louder tie? What are you going to do? Extreme can get to the point where it's no longer extreme. We've reached a point where we are overthinking headlines and it's gotten to the point of the ridiculous. How many times have you read a headline on a blog post or other article, and once you get to the meat of the article itself, you realize that you've been seriously misled? It happens every day. And you see it a lot in those aggravating headlines that pop up on Facebook and even some trusted news sources on the side. They look like headlines and they're really paid bullshit advertisements. They're the headlines that are really just monkey's paws to suck you into some kind of sales pitch. You know, this is one of my favorite ones. This one weird trick will help you burn fat without exercise. Or how about this one? This little known secret will make you rich in 5 minutes. I know. That's an exaggeration for a cheap laugh. But you know the headlines I'm talking about. You know, this weird trick. This secret. This little known secret. They want to make you think that they know something you don't. And you go in there and you can't even find what it is that they want you to know. Because really all they want is to get you in there and get you engaged so they can sell you something. Tabloid journalism has basically set a standard where the outrageous is no longer outrageous. Jane's Addiction had it right back in 1988. Nothing shocking. And it truly has gotten to that point. Use this to your advantage by inverting it. I mean, really, sensibility is the new outrageous, I guess you could say. You don't have to be shocking, and please don't be misleading with your headlines. But when you've got all these crazy headlines that none of us really believe anymore, in the middle of that, just think about this. Keep it simple. 5 best practice tips for more effective blogging. We do try to practice what we preach. And there you go. 5 best practice tips for more effective blogging. If you are interested in getting more interaction with your blogging and maybe interested in finding ideas, would that headline not attract you? I mean, hopefully that's part of the reason that you're here right now. But it's part of building trust too, because if I'm telling you we're going to give you 5 best practice tips for more effective blogging, I damn well better be delivering that or else you're not going to come back. I mean, it's a real give and take there. Now, speaking of 5 tips, that's a nice segue into blogging tip number 4. Use lists and bullet points. This is probably my favorite of all of them. Use lists and bullet points. I am the poster child for ADD. I need lists and I need bullet points to keep me organized. Ask anybody I work with. They will tell you, and I will back them up on this. But it's true. Use lists and bullet points. They work for engagement and they're helpful to your readers. It's an actual win-win. Look at our podcast titles and you'll see many examples of lists. You love lists. I love lists. We all love lists. Lists condense actions into organized nuggets of information that we can easily follow. Even when we only have 5 minutes, lists make us feel organized rather than overwhelmed. That's why we're all attracted to lists when we see them in the title of an article or a blog post. And as long as it's legitimate, then the point is well served. I mean, look, today's topic, again, keep not being not trying to be too self-serving here, but we do try to practice what we preach. Today's topic, 5 best practice tips for more effective blogging. Bingo! That's what you're going to get. Attention spans today are much shorter than they've ever been. People are on the go. Mobile search has overtaken desktop search because people are searching on the go. Use lists whenever you can. Don't rely completely on them, but do use them. Whether or not you're using a list or in a given post or article, use bullet points at least. Sometimes you may not necessarily need a formal list, but separate your posts into sections. Separate them into bullet points. Bullet points separate pieces of information and allow for faster reading and comprehension by your visitors. That's your first rule of engagement right there. Ease of reading. And now we're on to tip number 3. Don't be afraid to state a strong opinion or even be a little controversial. Now be careful with this, because, you know, like I was talking about in just the last section there, nothing's shocking anymore. People go for shock value, and it gets to the point where it's obvious you're going for shock value. However, an honest opinion that may be a little controversial, if you stand by that opinion, state it. Again, be careful. Use it only within reason, but use it with the understanding that your take, your opinion, your attitude are what set you apart from your competition. And I guarantee you that your competition has said some things you disagree with passionately. Now, don't resort to high school tactics like name calling or even calling them out by name, but just seize the moment to express your passionate viewpoint and your logic behind what you're saying. A good example of this is yours truly. You may recall a few months back, I threw a tantrum about pay-per-click versus organic SEO, which is still a real hot button for me. There's so much misinformation about it. And there was information I read in my region. I'm not going to be any more specific than that. But there were some articles I read from some SEO providers that made it painfully clear that they were blurring the lines between SEO and pay-per-click advertising. They were basically selling pay-per-click as SEO and continue to do that. This really offended me because, A, pay-per-click is not SEO. They are mutually exclusive. And B, we work with an excellent PPC expert named Fabio Cafaro. I'm on the phone with him every week, and he's a very intelligent, kind, and gracious soul. Just aces in every way. I mean, you talk to this guy for 5 minutes, you feel better about yourself, honestly. He's that kind of person. How many people can you say that about? I felt offended for him because I could look at it personally and say it kind of devalues what I do. But I felt it devalued what he did too, because there are some similarities between SEO and PPC in that there's going to be some keyword overlap, but the purpose and execution of both of them are entirely different. They are mutually exclusive. I felt offended for him because he and I have had numerous conversations about how PPC and SEO are separate entities. So I did a blog post and a podcast about it. And speaking of Fabio, I'm going to have him back on here soon because it's been a while. But seriously, don't be afraid to state a strong opinion. You can do this. Don't be afraid to respectfully articulate your opinion. Now, number 2, don't focus on keywords. I'm sure you didn't expect that one, me being an SEO guy. But the truth is, I've given you the same advice before with a different label, and that is write for your readers. And really, the two are the same thing. If you're writing for your readers, and you're writing about things that are relevant to your business, keywords are going to happen naturally. And that's what you want. It's like green optimization. It's like tofu done right. It's natural. The example I like to use, because I've worked with real estate professionals for the better part of the last 10 years, is real estate professionals. If you're a real estate pro in, like where we are, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, obviously you want to rank for the search term Lancaster, PA real estate, or something close to that. Just like the other thousands of real estate agents in the area who want to rank for the same term. The truth is, an independent agent plays second fiddle to the brand itself in searches like this. An independent agent is hard-pressed to rank as high or higher than the brand of, say, Berkshire Hathaway or REMAX, or insert your favorite real estate brand here. Because those companies generally have a central location in any given city or town. And there are numerous real estate agents who call that their home, their office. And as a result, they are naturally going to play second fiddle to the entity itself. And it's important to understand that. How then do you get found? Well, consider that people looking for a real estate agent can type in a lot more than merely the words real estate and then the city or area where they're looking. Yeah, I know, homes for sale, open houses, the obvious list goes on. I think about personally, my wife and I recently sold our house and we're moving into a new house. In fact, 2 days from now. And when we started our search, part of this is because we already knew the real estate agent we were looking for, but I even asked her, I said, what would you type in? And there were close to a dozen different phrases that she would type in, and myself as well. Real estate was not among any of the search phrases we would type in. I'm sure there are some people who would type in real estate, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, but homes for sale, open houses, new homes, homes on the market, I mean, home on the range where the deer and the antelope play. I mean, you could go down a whole list of different things that people could type in when they're looking for a home in a particular area. You don't want to get fixated on one term, and you don't want to get fixated just on, in this case, homes, because what else is there? You know, homes for sale, open houses, the obvious list goes on. What about neighborhoods? Neighborhood watches, community centers, programs for kids, summer camps, school districts, flood zones. That was a big one for us. Quality of life, shopping for necessities. What about all of the other factors that go into the decision to buy a home besides the real estate itself? What are you close to that you need? What conveniences come with the location where you are? Yeah, you've heard it 1,000 times. Location, location, location. Well, what exactly does that mean? If you're a real estate pro, you have an opportunity to write about it. If you're a law firm, write about real life scenarios that could connect with your audience. Keywords will naturally appear. If you're a theater or an opera house, don't forget the history of your organization or even the very building you're in while you're blogging. Of course, those entities have a constant influx of new shows, so they're not short of topics. However, outside of who's coming in and who's playing on what date, why should people care about your venue? You want to legitimately find how you can draw people in. And a lot of venues, a lot of entities that have shows, it's a matter of getting involved with community around you, showing that you care, People need to know that you care beyond collecting their money because somebody they like is coming to perform at your venue. So there's a lot that you can write about, and keywords will naturally appear. And those venues I was talking about, they're a good example because they're not focused merely on the keywords entertainment, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I mean, I keep using Pennsylvania. That's where we are. Entertainment, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, or entertainment, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. When people are looking for entertainment, they generally have a good idea of what they're looking for. So I bring this up from the standpoint of looking beyond the generic terms. Think about relevant topics, relevant, interesting things you can write about with regard to what you do. Some of the connections will be close. Some of them might be a little bit of a stretch, but be willing to go there and interject your opinions for the sake of helping those that come and read your information. Because that will build your audience and build trust. And number one, I mean, these five tips you can pretty much put in any order, but I'll say this one's number one, and it's number one for a reason. Number one, respond. When you have a blog post that receives comments from readers, either on the post itself or as a comment through your social media, respond to it. Positive or negative, respond. The quicker the better. When your visitors see that you are responding to those comments and you're responding with real sentences, real thoughts, and not canned corporate speak, that alone will go a long way towards building trust with your audience. Think about it. They can immediately respond to what you have written with their own opinions and their own questions. And in turn, you can immediately respond and potentially get into a dialogue with someone who will A, possibly become a customer, or B, you have a dialogue with them, they have a dialogue with you that will show all of your visitors in a public forum that you care. And again, I'm not talking about grandstanding here. I'm talking about just merely respecting and recognizing that it's a public forum you have in social media and on your blog page where people can leave comments. That is a public forum where people can see for themselves what you're made of and whether you care or not. And it's going to come through in what you say. And a lot of people are afraid of that because once it's written, and people can read it over and over and over again. But don't be afraid of it. Positive or negative, respond. I mean, come on. It's what we all want. You simply want to know that the entity to which you are paying your hard-earned money for products or services really cares beyond the money that they are receiving from you. It's never been easier for you to show it than it is now. Make time for it. Thank you for listening to the Mind Your Business podcast on your website, on our website, excuse me, on iTunes, on Stitcher, coming soon to Google Play, and thank you for the love on Pinterest, and keep your questions coming through Facebook, through our website, and by email at info@minddnd.com. Have a great day, and we'll reconvene right here next week. Same bad time, same bad station.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
Oh, you were finished. Well, allow me to retort.